medley of hymns. That was tremendous. Thank you. All right. Boy, it's good to be here. It's good to be here in church. Amen. We never want to take that for granted. Amen. We had a great week last week. I'll tell you what, I know so many of you were here for that conference, and I know the Lord did so many things. What a great, great blessing that the Lord brought our way, spoke to my heart every day and every evening. Did he speak to your hearts? Amen. I know we had some testimonies, and I know we could have had many, many more testimonies on what the Lord did, but just tremendous. All right. I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to turn to the book of Jeremiah. I've been reading through the book of Jeremiah, and I'm still in that book. And my Bible reading, it consists of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm in the book of Acts in the New Testament. Right now I'm in the book of Jeremiah. I'm also through the book of Psalms and Proverbs. And let me just ask, how many of you have a Bible reading plan? That's good. You know, that's important. It's important to have a good plan that, you know, where you're encouraged and, you know, you have something that you can look to each and every day, some structure so you can get in the Word of God daily. How many of you believe it's important to be in the Word of God every day? Amen. I know you know that. And I'm probably preaching to the choir here. We know that. It's so important. Now listen, another thing that obviously we see all about us and we've seen with our country, you know, we're not in the best place as a country that we once were, right? I mean, unless you've been living in a cave, we see that our country has really gone downhill. The things that we once valued as a whole, as a nation, so many of those things are going away. And I don't believe that that's true with this group of people here, certainly not. And it's certainly not true with myself. The things that I look to in the Word of God when I first got saved and began to grow, I still embrace. But we're seeing a lot of things go away. We're seeing a lot of things that, again, were once valued that are no longer valued. Things have been turned on their heels. We've certainly seen that. The prophet Jeremiah, kind of like Isaiah and many of the other prophets, he had a difficult ministry, and he preached to the Jews of Judah, and they would not listen. They were a stiff-necked people. There were some that listened, but as a whole, they would not listen. And Jeremiah had a difficult ministry. He was called the what prophet? Yeah, he was the weeping prophet. And he wept for his people, and God spoke to him and used him to bring the word of God to the Jews, but they wouldn't listen. And God had judgment down the line. It wasn't very far off. And as Jeremiah preached, it got closer and closer, and it was that Babylonian captivity. Nebuchadnezzar was not far from coming and taking the Jews captives, not every single one of them, but thousands upon thousands were taken back to Babylon, and there was a 70-year captivity, and Jeremiah preached about that, and it broke his heart, and it was certainly a challenge for him. Well, we see things happening here in our country as well, as we've gotten away from the things of God, and we're going to take a look here that what took place with the Jews as they got away from God, and as they continued to get away from God, they began to worship false gods, and they pushed God into a corner where God was dealing with his people, and God was forced to do some things with his people. So we take a look here in Jeremiah chapter 6. The Jews again had turned so far from God, and the Lord was no longer going to endure it. And so, again, shortly, just in a matter of years, the Jews were going to be heading into Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. And Jeremiah had not failed to warn them of their sin, of their hypocrisy, and of their idolatries. And he preached unto them to return unto their God, but they would not listen. Instead, they insisted on doing things their own way. In fact, I'll just read this verse out of Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 24, the very next chapter. It says, "But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." And so Jeremiah is going to bring up three things in this chapter that caused Israel to invoke God's anger upon them. And we're going to take a look here, and we'll start here in verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 6. In verse 10, it says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken," they cannot hear. "Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, they have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." So the three things are contained in those verses right there from verses 10 through 15. And I'm not going to stay in this passage, but I'm going to bring up those three things. And then we're going to move on to verse 16 is where we're going to be for the message. But the first thing that they had done that brought God's anger upon them is they had rejected the word of God. They had rejected the word of God. It starts off small with just neglecting the word of God and getting to a point where that neglecting of the word of God begins to be more pronounced as time goes on. We certainly can certainly be guilty of that. Amen. And you start to get out of that habit of Bible reading and it becomes more and more. You know, the Bible speaks about how we're to love the Word of God. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 119. We ought to have a love for the Word of God. Amen? Now, there's some times when maybe we don't always love it as we should, but you know what? We should at least go to the next line of at least do it out of duty's sake, right? Sometimes we feel like we're obliged to read the Word of God. Well, listen, sometimes you don't always bring your A game to your Bible reading. And it's just good to look to the Lord and say, "Lord, you know, my heart's just not in it today. I'm distracted. Would you please help me?" And the Lord's always so kind and so gracious, and He's long-suffering with us. And it's important for us to be willing to embrace the Word of God as it's preached to us. You remember when Paul wrote to the Thessalonican church? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said this in these three words, "Despise not prophesyings." You know what he's saying there? Despise not the preaching of the Word of God, the proclamation of the Word of God. Sometimes when we hear preaching and it begins to get a little too personal for us, sometimes we can dig in our heels, get indignant with God, and push it away. That's the worst thing that we can do. The best thing for us to do is to allow God to speak to our hearts, to reveal us, to open us up so that we might become more like Christ and so that we can yield unto Him and bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So they had rejected the Word of God. And then verse 13 speaks about how they were covetous. Everyone was given unto covetousness. It says, "From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely." They were involved with falsehood. Well, hopefully we're not engaged in that. Hopefully we haven't given ourselves over unto covetousness. But listen, we live in the land of being covetous, all right? Americans, we have everything that we practically want, right? Yep. I mean, if we are just straightforward about it and honest, we have pretty much all of our needs are met. The Lord is so good. He takes care of us. And then He gives us a lot of our wants. Because we live in the land of plenty, don't we? So covetousness, I'm not going to throw you under the bus with me, but I'm just saying that's a challenge for every one of us. It certainly is a challenge for me, especially for this old nature. that I have to deal with. And then he says everyone is given to falsehood. Hopefully we're not there. The Bible says that we're to, speaking the truth in love. We're to be honest. Hopefully we're honest in our dealings as believers. But there's a lot of lying going on around us, and we can be given to that as well. Amen? Sometimes we can kind of shave enough of the truth off to make it look good on us. You ever been there? Yeah, we've all been there. But he says, as he uses Jeremiah to preach the word, that they had been guilty of covetousness and falsehood, and then they became hardened to their sin. In verse 15, he says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. They had become hardened in their sin, and God was going to judge his people. So the question is this: what can we learn from this? Hopefully we don't look at this and say, well, I can't even relate to any of that. Well, I certainly can, because this can happen to us to maybe a small amount of degrees, or maybe to a larger amount of degrees. But we just have to shoot straight with the Lord and be honest with him. Listen, we want to make sure and determine that we never go down this road as a believer. Amen? Right. And these were God's children that he's dealing with. If we're not careful, folks, we certainly can. And again, maybe to some degree that we have done that. So today I want to speak on the subject that Jeremiah spoke on. And we're going to look at it here in verse 16 about asking for the old paths. Asking for the old paths. It's where we need to go as a country. It's where we need to go as a church. If we've gone there, we need to stay there. Amen? Right. We need to go back to the old ways. And listen, I'm an old school kind of guy. That doesn't mean I don't like things newer. Certainly we do. We like to make things look new. That's why we've done, a lot of remodeling around here, making things look good. I like to be up and current in so many ways. But listen, when it comes to God's truths and God's word, those are old truths, and that's what we want to stay with. Amen? Amen. And so with that, we're going to take a look at ask for the old paths. And the Lord is now going to give Jeremiah the remedy about what's happened to his people. They can get their hearts right, Jeremiah, if they will do these things. And I believe without a doubt it applies to every one of us. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here together today. What a blessing it is to have the fellowship that we are able to have. It's a great, great blessing. Thank you for the opportunity to sing unto you. And we thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school class and what we heard on prayer, what we heard. And thank you for all of the Sunday school classes that were going on throughout the buildings. And Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to look into your word. I pray you'll help me, Lord. This is over my head. I'm not sufficient for this. I just simply want to be a vessel that you can work through. And I pray you help me. I pray you'll put me behind the cross and under the blood. I just want to not hinder you. And I pray, Father, for you to work in hearts and lives here this morning. Lord, we want to do the right thing as your people. We don't want to do what we see happened to the Jews. And it certainly has happened to us as well to some degree, but help us not to go where what we're seeing here in this chapter. So may our hearts be right with you. May we listen to what you allowed and commanded Jeremiah to preach to these people. So may our hearts be right. I pray for those of us that know you, that we would just make sure our hearts are right before you. We would pray for anybody here without Christ, that you do a work in their hearts and show them that they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so we would pray that in all of this, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified. And we ask it in his name. Amen. So now the Lord is going to give this remedy, this solution about what to do, about how to get things right. And he gives this to Jeremiah, and it is the remedy for today, all right? It's the same thing is true for us today. And so we take a look here in verse 16. I'll just read that whole verse, and then we'll pull out these 3 points of the message here today out of this verse. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But look at this postscript again at the end of the verse. But they said, we will not walk therein. I hope we don't say that. But he gives to Jeremiah to preach to the people, to preach to his children, to preach to the Jews what they needed to do to get their hearts right. And the first thing that he brings forth is, stand in the ways. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. Stand in the right ways is what he's saying. Stand for what is right, what you know is right. God had laid it out. He laid it out to the Jews all the way back from Abraham all the way till their day. They knew what was right. And he said, stand in the right ways. Do the right thing. Proverbs chapter 4, it's just a great passage here. In Proverbs chapter 4, I'll just read the end of that chapter. And you can certainly turn there. But in Proverbs chapter 4, he says this in verses 18 through 27. And these are the words that were given to Solomon as he was teaching his children. And of course, it is certainly God speaking to his children, us, as we read the book of Proverbs. And he says in verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Won't you please listen to what I'm saying to you? Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You know, you're going to keep things in the midst of your heart that are valuable to you. And so will I. We're going to hide them in our heart. And that's what he's saying to do. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Well, we're talking about having a focus, right? Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, ponder the path of thy feet. Think about where you go. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left, and remove thy foot from evil. In other words, he's saying, just stay on the right path. Just stay on the right path. Stand in the ways is what he says for us to do. What he tells Jeremiah to preach to the Jews is stand in the ways. Do right till the stars fall. Bob Jones Sr. said way back in the day, do right till the stars fall. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 says, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Boy, that ought to be in our hearts, right? To abhor that which is evil, but cleave to that which is good. Everything is being turned upside down in our society, right? And hopefully we don't buy into that. I sure hope not. Let's just keep our eyes on the Lord. We're to stand and let the Lord establish you and I. That's what he is wanting to do. In Ephesians chapter 6, a great passage. And I'll turn there, and if you'll turn with me in Ephesians chapter 6, I think we know this passage. If you've known the Lord for any amount of time, you know the Christian armor is here. But we'll look at these verses that lead up to the armor. And it says here in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Sometimes we try to be strong on our own behalf, but we need to be strong in the Lord and look unto him. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're to put on not part of the armor or most of the armor, but the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not. Here's where our battle is. It's not with flesh and blood. It's not with people. Our battle is a spiritual battle. And it says here in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We're to stand. And then verse 14, stand therefore. He says it again. You look through the book of Ephesians, there's a lot of references to the word stand. And so it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Folks, we're to stand and defend. Stand upon God's promises. Amen? Many have taken a stand. We look at the Word of God, and there were so many that took a stand for what was right, and they give us great example. Abraham, Moses, certainly, Joshua, David, Daniel. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I love when they were standing before King Nebuchadnezzar, all right, who is going to come not too long of a time, as we talked about earlier, and they're going to be taking them into captivity. Well, while they're into captivity, that's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took a stand. Yep. And you remember in Daniel chapter 6, they said, when Nebuchadnezzar said, well, when the music plays, because I've heard that you didn't bow down to my idol when the music played, so I'm going to give you another chance. And that's paraphrased. But he says, when the music plays, then you're supposed to bow and reverence my idol. But you remember what they said. They said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not careful. We're not full of care. We're not worried about how we're going to answer you in this matter. Amen. And they said this, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, he said, we will not serve thy gods. And we're not going to bow down to your idol. He said, if God allows us to be burned up, he's going to deliver us that way. Or God's going to do something miraculous. And he did something miraculous. Amen? But they stood and they did the right thing. They stood in the midst of a great threat, of the threat of their lives. I don't know if it's going to come to that for us here in America, but it might not be far down the road. You know, we take a look at what's hanging here in the balance in just a couple months. What, less than 50 days now? We're going to have an election, and there's going to be, this thing's going to swing one of two directions as I look at it. I think that's why it's important for us to be good, civilians, and to do our civic duty, and to vote, and to pray. But as I said before, however it plays out, I know who I want in there, and I'm not here to speak politics, and I know who I don't want in there, but either way, I'm gonna praise the Lord. I really will. I won't be happy one way, and I'll be happier the other, but our hope is not really in the White House anyway. It's on the Lord. It's on God who created all things. And if it doesn't go his way, I don't think God's going to be up on the throne biting his fingernails. I don't think that's going to happen. God's in charge. And if it happens that way, we just go, okay, maybe that just means the Lord's coming sooner. Praise the Lord. Again, I'm trying to be a realist with you and trying to be transparent. Yeah, I'm not going to be happy, but I'm going to praise the Lord whatever way it goes. But let's be praying, and let's just be trusting the Lord what he would have what he would have done, and we'll trust him. Listen, folks, if we live for Christ, we see it in his word over and over. One verse, and I could come up with so many. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 4 says, for verily, when we were with you, Paul was speaking to the church at Thessalonica, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. We're all going to suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And ye know. He says, you know that because you've suffered a lot of tribulation. That the Thessalonians at their from their own countrymen and from the Jews, the unbelieving Jews that were threatening them. They had gone through all of that. But folks, listen, we also ourselves are going to be challenged and confronted and maybe even assaulted in some ways. Maybe it's a verbal assault. I don't know. Maybe it's just going to be a sharp stare as you tell somebody that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's going to be a door slammed, but maybe it goes beyond that. But let me just say this, be ready. Amen? We're to be ready. Maybe it's something you've already had to deal with. Maybe it's just something that happened within your own family. You know, listen, there are a lot of believers on this planet that are being put to death for Christ. And we're living in a free country, but again, it's going in a place that I've never seen. And I've lived all these years in this wonderful, I'm so proud to be an American, but it's just sad to see what's happening. That's why we just need to be praying. We need to be praying and looking unto the Lord, because it's just going to get worse and worse. Folks, we need to make sure to know what our marching orders are. Folks, and that is that we're to honor the Lord, and we're to bring Him glory in everything that we do. We're to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're to be a blessing to one another. Amen? Amen? Yeah. And when we get our eyes off of that, and the greatest of all, of course, is to bring honor and glory unto Him. But when we get our eyes off of that, it just begins to become selfishness. And our lives begin to be tainted with something that God never called us to. So folks, expect conflict. Expect to be knocked down. Sometimes we're just not ready for that. You know, you remember Mike Tyson. Everybody's heard of Mike Tyson. He was just blowing people away. I watched a lot of those fights back in the late 80s and even into the early 90s. And he took a punch one time that he just was not expecting. And he said, somebody asked him about it. He said, well, I had a strategy until I got punched in the face. Sometimes we're just not ready for that. Listen, it's going to come back. And we just need to keep our eyes on the Lord and ask the Lord, help us, Lord. Help me so that when I get some blowback, when I get some response, that I'll just continue to keep my eyes on you and not get blown out of the water. Keep our eyes on Him. Bob Jones Sr. again, he said, expect the worst, but hope for the best. That's a good thing to do. Expect the worst. That doesn't mean you're what's the opposite of an optimist? A pessimist, right? Yeah, we don't want to be pessimists, but listen, we want to be realist. So he said, expect the worst, but hope for the best. And that's good. Listen, our country was founded on some great individuals. God used some great people. You know, you think of that great name, Nathan Hale. And he said, I only regret that I have one life to give for my country. Wow, that's great. You think about so many of those in the inception, of the, back in the beginning of our country, who they weren't doing it to be profiled or to be showcased. They had a love for our country, and so many of them had a love for God. I think about Patrick Henry, who said, give me liberty or give me death. Give me liberty or give me death. Folks, we need that kind of a resolve today. Don't you agree with me? Yes, we do need that kind of a resolve today. Some tenacity, some grit, some stick-to-itiveness. Somebody coined that phrase a long time ago, and I like that. Some stick-to-itiveness. I'm not sure you'll find that in the dictionary, but it's a great word. Let us stand. Let us stand in the ways. Amen? Then the Lord said through Jeremiah, ask for the old paths. He says there in verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths, the tried and true measures, the ones that were proven over time, these paths that were etched out of God's truth. Let us go back to former times. Again, I'm an old soul. I'm old in body too, okay? But I'm still an old school kind of guy. Let us go back to those former times. So many want you to think progressive anymore. And yes, listen, I am for progress. Amen? I want us to go forward, but not how they envision it, right? Their progressiveness leaves God out of the picture. That's not where we want to go. Many new things are nice. I've said that before. But if they leave the Lord Jesus Christ out, then we want to get rid of it like a bad habit. Jesus Christ ought to be at our forefront. He ought to be right there as we keep our eyes on him. He is the prize. He is the one that we keep in our focus. We're told to ask for the old paths. That means, folks, we're to pray. We're to be praying people. You know, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, this was Solomon's prayer. And he prayed, and God's response, it says, if my people which are called by my name, as the Lord speaks to Solomon, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's a good prayer for today, isn't it? It's a good prayer for us as Americans, as Christians, for this country to be praying and seeking the Lord. Luke chapter 11, that's another good passage for us to take a look at. Take a look at Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, the Lord is speaking to the disciples, and he teaches them the Lord's Prayer, because one of the disciples said, teach us how to pray. And so he says here in verses, I'll just read verses 1 through 13 and then just make a couple of comments and we'll get back to our chapter. But it says here, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, and he's going to give them the Lord's Prayer. Some have said, well, it's kind of like the disciples' prayer, but we call it the Lord's Prayer. And he says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? He's going to give them an addendum, a little addition here in addition to the Lord's Prayer. He says, he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. And that word importunity means his persistence. Because of his importunity, he will rise. Man, the guy's not going away. My friend is not going away. I've got to get up. He'll never stop knocking. He says he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask. Ask. That's what the Lord spoke to Jeremiah about. Ask for the old paths. He says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? He says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We need the Spirit of God, folks. Now listen, if you're saved, we have the Spirit of God. I do understand that. And you have the Spirit of God. He is the Comforter. He's God. God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside you if you're saved. But we're talking here about power and presence. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We pray, and I pray, Lord, would you be here in a mighty way. We pray for the Spirit of God to do a mighty work. And we constrain you to come. And that's what we're looking to. We have the opportunity to ask for God through the Spirit of God to do his work in our hearts, to do his work among us as a church, as a body of believers. What a blessing that we have to be able to look unto him to do that. Praise the Lord that he gives us that opportunity. We need to go back to the days, listen, beyond prayer now, we just need to go back also to those former paths, to the old paths. We need to go back to the days when the emphasis was upon character. It seems like that's all gone out the window. Let us teach to our children, and that takes time. We don't have the time for, it seems like more and more we don't have time for the most important things in life. And we need to take time to do that. This joke I heard, we're like the guy who invented the microwave TV, right? He can watch an episode of 60 Minutes in 12 seconds. It's not good, all right? We're doing everything just, you know, in hyperdrive. That's not the way we're supposed to be doing it. But that's how we've become more and more. Everything is like hustle and bustle, and we're at breakneck speed, and we have to try to rein it in, but we do best when we do rein it in. Of taking time with our families. Take time with your spouses. I know your schedules can be very demanding and sometimes overwhelming, but do all you can to try to go back to some former times and spend time with your families. Spend time with your children. Have devotions with your family. Those seem like they're non-existent anymore. I'm not saying that they are, but spend time. Open the Word of God. Spend even a few minutes just reading the Word of God together. Amen? Of Bible reading. Spend time reading the Bible. Of prayer. Again, we've scheduled ourselves out so much. Let us slow down and get a good grip on the right priorities. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 17 through 19, the Apostle Paul, and we went through this when we went through 1 Timothy. I'll just read this. But he is exhorted by the Apostle Paul about those that were in the church that had some finances, that had some riches. And he said, I want you to preach to them. I want you to exhort them. Of course, it's the Lord working through Paul. We know that. It was the Holy Spirit. But he says this, charge them, Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. Preach to them that they don't get proud because of their riches, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And he says, tell them this as well in verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That's why I believe these are saved people that he's talking to, that just had some finances, they had some revenue. They were wealthy, and he says there in verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That they may lay hold on eternal life. Listen, that's the key part of that whole little stretch of verses right there, that Timothy, preach to them. Tell those that have some wealth and they're well-to-do, that they get a hold of eternal things. That they get a hold of eternal life. Not trying to hold on to their eternal life. If you're saved, I believe that salvation is certain. Okay? That's what I believe. So we're not trying to hold on to that. He's talking about holding on to eternal things. That means embrace eternal things. Let those be the things that you covet. For lack of a better word, the things that you love. The things that you want to get a hold of and embrace. Let it be eternal things. Amen? Because we can get so caught up on other things, getting our focus on eternal things and off of all of the distractions. Would you say that we have a lot of distractions in this country? I would say probably more than maybe any country on this planet. Listen, we have always been, we as Americans have always been passionate about things. But unfortunately, we've allowed our passions to shift into other things. To other things that don't matter. We need to become passionate for the things of Christ. Right. We need to become passionate for the things of God. We got to make sure that our priorities are right. And we need to ask for those old paths, those old ways. Lord, help us. Help us to get back to a time when we put you first. We're getting caught up in all of this, and it's taking us down a wrong road. Then the Lord says to Jeremiah, as we look back on Jeremiah chapter 6, and right there in that verse 16, for the third point here in that verse. So I'll read from the beginning again. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Where is the good way, and walk therein. This last point is walk in the good way. Walk in the good way. So now what must we do? Well, we need to put into action. That's what walking does. We stand, right? We ask for the old paths, and then we walk in the good way. We need to put into action the things that have been taught and exhorted. We know that. We've gone over verses like this over and over. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Because we can listen to the preaching of the word and say, yes, that's good, that's good. And then we walk up and we go and we haven't done anything about it. I seriously took some of the things that Brother Sommerdorf said, because there's times when I'll hear preaching and I'll go off and you get caught up in your schedule, right? And you're thanking the Lord for what you heard, but then we never really act on it. Has that ever happened to you? Sure. And Brother Sommerdorf brought up some great, great points. The Lord used him in a great way. And he brought forth that little handout that he gave to us, the restaurant of life, that menu, right? About things that we can do, you know, and get caught up in this life, things on a carnal nature, you know, maybe too much time on our cell phones, our smartphones, maybe too much time, watching TV or videos or movies or gaming or whatever it might be. And then he showed the flip side, Bible reading and prayer and witnessing. And, you know, I started to think, Lord, where am I at on that? How much time do I give? I can go spend 3 hours on a football game, right? And that's why I DVR all of them, and I just fast forward, and I only spend like an hour and a half on them now. I feel a whole lot better about things. Blow through those commercials. Whatever makes you feel good, right? It's good, though. I was just mindful of that this week. Lord, help me to give more to you. Help me to be mindful of what I'm doing. Might we think that one over? Listen, we're to get busy serving the Lord. Get busy and don't wait for some miraculous invitations from the Lord. All right, he gives us his word. And he's made it very clear of what he's commanded us to do. He commands us in his word to serve him. It's very, very clear. It's crystal clear that we're to serve him. Are you serving him here today? If we only talk about it and really not do it, then we're going to just be like the sluggard in the book of Proverbs who comes up with all kinds of excuses. I think of Proverbs 26 and verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit, in his own mind, than 7 men that can render a reason. That's just because he's full of his own ego. And we can become that way. Let's not have a whole bunch of excuses of why we're not going to serve the Lord. The slothful man, it says in Proverbs 26:13, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. I would go and do what I'm supposed to do, but there's a lion out there. That's no lion, that's just a kitty cat. What are you talking about? We can use excuses to the hilt to make us feel good, to kind of rationalize our behavior. But maybe we just get straight before the Lord and just begin to turn our lives over into him. Maybe it's good. Maybe you're at a point where, Lord, I just need to look to you. I want to turn my life over. I want to be in your word every day and in prayer. And I want you to lead and guide me and show me what you might want me to do. Maybe I'm supposed to be involved in a ministry in this church. Maybe I'm supposed to do something that you want me to do. But that's only going to happen as we yield and submit to him. listen, we just have to sometimes pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps and get ourselves going, get ourselves up and walking. Let me just go ahead and have you turn to Ephesians. We'll finish up with just a couple of verses here that talk about this walking, walking in the good way, walking in the good way. In the book of Ephesians, I'm just going to go through five or six verses that exhort us to this walk for Christ. Ephesians, in chapter 2, in verse 10, this comes right on the heels of our great salvation. And I'll read those verses as well. It says here in verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Amen? That salvation that we received was a free gift from God. It wasn't free for him. He paid an awful price for it, didn't he? But we received it freely. And then it says here in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Now that we're saved, we're created unto good works. And then he says this, "which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We're to walk in good works. Lord, what would you have me to do? What can I do out on the workforce where I work? Is there something I can do to be a blessing that maybe you could use as an inroad, maybe to lead somebody to Christ? What good work can I do? Is there something I can do for a neighbor? Is there something that I can do for another brother or sister in the church? Is there something that I can do along these lines of good works? We're supposed to be full of good works, and God uses them. And then he says in chapter 4, in verse 1 of Ephesians, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you," I beg you, he says, "I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called," that you'll walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Whatever it is you're called to, maybe it's being a mom, which I can't think of any higher calling. And I mean that. What a wonderful thing it is to be a mom, a stay-at-home mom, and God's called you to that. Or maybe you're working somewhere. Maybe that's your vocation. Maybe you work as an engineer somewhere. Maybe you do this or that or whatever it might be, an electrician. Whatever vocation, whatever your calling is, you and I are to walk worthy of that vocation. We're to do all that we can. We're not to take shortcuts. We're to be honest. Hopefully people look at us and say, that person's different. What's different about them? And then they find out, man, they know the Lord. Okay, well, maybe they don't like that part, but they can't deny the fact that you're different in a good way. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It ought to be. And so we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And then chapter 5 and verse 2, well, I'll read verse 1. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." He says there at the beginning of verse 2, walk in love. Walk in love. We're to have love for one another. Hopefully we have love for those in our own household. That should be a given. But they ought to see the love of Christ. Our children ought to see the love of Christ in you and I, mom or dad. Wives ought to see the love of Christ in her husband. A husband should see the love of Christ in his wife. Amen? That's what we should strive for. But those around should see the love of Christ. The Lord says, hey, listen, the only way the only way this lost world is going to know that you're truly are saved is the love you have for one another. I know that's a paraphrase, but he says they'll know something's different when they see that you love one another. So we're to walk in love. And then verse 15 of chapter 5, he says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Circumspectly, that you are walking very aware. Circumspectly means 360, everywhere you're watching, because listen, we have an enemy, and we're to walk circumspectly. We're to walk as a soldier would walk through a minefield or with enemies around. We're always aware. The Lord says to walk that way. And then when you get to the end, not to the end, but a little further along in that passage where it says, "Wherefore," in verse 17, "be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We're to be filled with the Spirit. But the passage that kind of correlates with walking, I'm going to look at Galatians, because, yes, Ephesians talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, but so does Galatians, but it uses the term walk And so I'll go ahead and bring that one up. In verse 16 of chapter 5 in Galatians, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to walk in the good way that God had commanded Jeremiah to preach to those people, but they wouldn't listen. But how about us? Will we listen? Will we determine that we want to walk in the good way, that we want to do the right thing, that we want to stand in the ways, ask for the old paths, and walk in the good way? May we do that, amen? May we look unto the Lord to do something in this country. Maybe the Lord will hear, and maybe the Lord will say, "My people are praying. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give them another several years of some blessing, of people getting saved. And then we'll let it go down, and then I'll come back for my people." But maybe the Lord will extend it out because his people are praying. Because we look unto the Lord and say, "Lord, please give us. You know, Lord, you know, I'm probably praying a big part of this because I like things the way they are, and I'm a lover of creature comforts, and everything's going well, but help me, Lord. I don't want to pray it for that reason. I want to pray it because I'd like to see you do some things. I want to see you save people and bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see some revival go on. I know that we could have worldwide revival if God wanted it to. Yeah, we're probably at that point where probably that's not going to happen. I'm trying to be a realist. But I believe we can see revival to some degree. I don't want to limit God. And I think God can do whatever he wants to do. Maybe if we just trust him and say, "Lord, would you do some great things?" Let us see the church grow. Let us see people getting saved. Let us see people getting baptized on a regular basis. Wouldn't that be good? Let's be praying for that. Let's listen to what God spoke to Jeremiah to preach to the Jews. Let us take it to heart. And let me just say this. If you're here, I'll speak to another group of people. If you're here without Jesus Christ, then my heart goes out to you. I want to see you get saved. Jesus died for you on a cross. I'm so thankful that he died for me on the cross, and he was buried and rose again. And now he's ascended up to the right hand of the Father, and he's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He wants to come into your life and save you. He just simply wants us to come to him with a heart of repentance and confess that we're sinners and receive him as our Savior. And if you're here without Jesus Christ, then I would beseech you, I would urge you to trust Jesus Christ today. Let's go ahead and bow our heads at this point. We'll go before the Lord here in prayer in just a moment. But with our heads bowed, and Vicky is going to come and play the piano, and Brother Ray is going to lead us in a hymn in just a few moments. But with our heads bowed as the piano begins to play, and just a little bit here, we'll be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. Is God speaking to your heart? Is God speaking to your heart about maybe where you're at in your life right now with Christ? You say, "I know him as my Savior. I know that he's given me everlasting life. But right now in my life, maybe I'm getting a little sidetracked, a little scheduled out. And I know God's speaking to my heart about maybe just submitting my heart and my life more closely to him. To get into that book every day. To be more and more in prayer and in the spirit of prayer throughout the day." Maybe God's spoken to your heart about that. This is a good time to just respond to him. Maybe to come and have some time at the altar and talk to the Lord. Maybe you're here today without Jesus Christ. You don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven. You can know that without a doubt. If you step out in the aisle, if God so leads you and you come up, we'll have somebody from the Word of God show you how you can be saved. And so I put that out as an invitation for every one of us that will respond to the Lord here today. Father, we come to you this afternoon. We thank you, Lord, for your Word. Thank you for this account, the book of Jeremiah, the account of what took place as you commanded him to preach your Word. And there wasn't a good response. But help us to respond in a way that's pleasing unto you. Help us, Lord. Help us to stand in the ways. Help us to ask for the old paths. And help us to walk in the way that is good. Help us not to be passive, but help us to go forward and do what you've called us to do as your people. Lord, help us to be a praying people. Would you work in our hearts today, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Let's all stand.